Organize Me Radio, Episode 7, Student Organizing. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I am here with Tiffany Blassingame, and we are going to talk about student organizing. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So tell us, how did you become a professional organizer, and how did you decide that student organization would be your specialty?
Well, I think like all professional organizers, I've been organized all my life. And I didn't really realize that there was another way to be. I thought everyone kind of thought this way about things being in a certain order and categorized and sorted. And,
if only, right?
But I, as I got older, I began to realize that it's how I got through some of my most challenging times in life. And also, it's how I've had success in life because of using those strengths. I've been an educator for over 20 years now. I've taught primary grades, I'm a school administrator, kindergarten through 12th grade, and I really take a lot of time figuring out how students learn. And so to me, it was natural for me to begin to focus on student organization. I would get questions from parents about, well, they're doing well in math, or they're doing okay in English, but I just can't get them to keep up with this or to do that. Or I want them to be able to do this on their own. And so I really began to kind of go deeper into the best practice of that, what that looked like for teachers to help support students, and what that looked like for parents for supporting them.
Okay, so it's funny because you never think about a student needing help with, you know, organization. Mm-hmm. Like we never think about it in those terms. So hopefully after today, some parents might, you know, really seek to get their kids help with getting organized with everything.
Yeah.
All right. So do you work with students of all ages when it comes to organizing?
Yes. Well, so the key word there is students. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is kindergarten through high school.
Okay.
College students, grad students, or who I primarily work with. I don't work with young kids like infants, preschoolers, toddlers.
Well, they want to pick up the concepts anyway.
Right.
They're not ready yet. So.
But some people like ask, like, how do I get my infant to sleep on schedule? And I'm like, you gotta go to go with their schedule.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's not the kind of organization you do. So not kid organizing, but specifically student organizing.
The academic life part. So
right.
What it takes to get through your academic life.
How do you tailor your methods to ensure that they are age appropriate?
So because of my background in education, I really kind of take a look at what's developmentally appropriate for a child to be able to do. And I think that's oftentimes where people get confused about things that you expect an elementary student to do. And even more so a middle school student, we think because they can do this and because they're so smart at that, or they can program my TV, that they should be able to remember to brush
right.
their teeth.
Right.
And so I'm really looking at what's developmentally appropriate for them and then what other things they have going on in their lives that affect that. And I've also spent a lot of time studying learning and attention issues. Kids that may be on the spectrum, kids that have ADHD, mm-hmm. Sensory processing, dyslexia, how that plays into their executive function skills and organizing and time management,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that parents understand that and use their strengths to kind of help them go through that. When I'm working with a student, I use a specific assessment to determine, like, what are their strengths in these areas? How can we use those strengths to then help develop some of those growth areas that they need? And sometimes I even assess the parents to kind of see, do they have some common strengths that they can work from to support their child, especially a child that may have learning or attention issues.
So on the lines of learning and attention issues, I have a son who is 5. So he's only in kindergarten, but he does have sensory processing disorder. Mm-hmm. And getting him to learn things is difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, he has his special way of doing things, mm-hmm. but he always has to move around and... you know, he's never willing to really sit still to actually sit and learn uh-huh. the lesson. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to parents who have kids that are like that and they're kind of frustrated and wondering, you know, what they can do to help their kid right. along the way?
So I'm glad you shared that. You know, I think one thing that you said that was key was that you recognize that he has his own certain way of doing things.
Right.
And really... If we think about it, we all do, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of what makes, like, you know, marriage difficult because you already got your way of doing things and he has his way of doing things, right? And so, like, recognizing that and either, depending on what the specific issues are with, like, getting him to do something else, is either, like, setting the timer for the amount of time that would be appropriate for him. Like, at 5, I wouldn't think it would be more than... 5 minutes mm-hmm. of what you want him to do.
Right.
And then him knowing when I'm done with this, I'll be able to do this. Using a lot of visuals, specifically if a student is nonverbal, mm-hmm. Using a lot of visuals, visuals on the actual clock or timer to show him like what he's going to be able to do when he's done or what he should be doing right now. And allowing for that movement. We talk about the Pomodoro method mm-hmm. for adults and productivity, but the kids need it too. And making sure that the kids are in a learning environment that allows for that is pretty key. And that's just like kind of not knowing your son or, right. or this specific student, but really using his strengths and what works for him, and then little by little helping him kind of gain different habits and try something different until it becomes more familiar. Mm-hmm. And then that will develop more into a habit.
Okay,
him.
That's so helpful. Yeah. But I think it is interesting that, you know, people expect kids to kind of just sit still mm-hmm. in their mm-hmm. environment. When they're kids, adults can't even sit still,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
So, but yeah, I think that is very helpful.
Yeah. And maybe putting like resistance bands on the chair or stool so that when he's sitting there, he'll be able to like, you know, tap on that resistance band and give him something to actually to support that movement during that time that you want him to sit.
That's
still.
A good idea because we have some things. We have a trampoline mm-hmm. inside and outside. Mm-hmm. And then my sister-in-law just purchased this like little kind of pogo type stick. It's not a real pogo stick, but it actually has resistance bands for, but he doesn't know how to use it. So he kind of just carries it around like, what am I supposed to do with this, you know? So, but I think that's a good idea. I think just getting actual resistance bands would probably really be helpful in our situation.
Yeah.
So what are some of the main areas that students need help in when it comes to organization?
I can give you the top three questions that I get from parents.
Okay.
One is like how to make sure things get done, basically. And to me, that is creating a routine so that everybody knows what to expect. Mm. Everyone knows in the home, the parent and the student, when we're going to actually have time to do homework. When are they working on the homework on their own? When are you going to check in with the homework? Those kinds of routines. Managing their time. So, you know, my child waited until the last minute to do this or this happened. And, you know, a lot of the issues with managing time for kids is that they don't see that the time is coming up. If you don't make it visible, right, they mm-hmm. don't really know that this time is coming up. They don't really understand the concept of time as much. And so making sure that you have some systems in place for managing time and then managing energy, which I see are two different things.
Yeah.
Managing time is like we all get 24 hours a day and like you have things to do in that day and how do you get them done? Managing energy is how do you make sure that everything gets done and that you have enough energy to do the things that you want to do, right? So the things that you need to do gets done, mm-hmm. and then you have the energy to do what you want to do. For adults, that looks like, you know, we talk a lot about self-care mm-hmm. and my faith time and different things like that. But kids need that same type of time. Like, we wonder why they, like, get sucked into the screens and the phones. It's because they're trying to put their energy elsewhere. They're trying to use that white space, and sometimes mm-hmm. we overschedule them.
Yeah.
And then they just want to escape for a minute, and we know what that feels like.
Right.
And so that's that managing energy, you know, helping them put their bedtime feature on their phone, putting the certain reminders and things on their laptop or on their computer so they know when it's time to shut it off and just do something different. So managing time and managing energy are two different things.
I have never heard it that way. I'm having like aha moments all over the place yeah. right now.
I love it.
Okay, so what tips then would you give parents to make sure their students stay organized?
So I think the number one thing to remember for parents is that all you want to do is to keep your child in the game. I consider yourself like a coach through this organizing process. And so all, like, your expectation for them would be to, like, consistently support them as they are trying to achieve this success. It's not like a one-time thing, like you told them and that they're just gonna get it. Like, I've been doing it this way, they haven't noticed. No, they haven't, because you've been doing it.
right.
So supporting them in that and keeping them in the game. One way to do that is to, my mantra is, your morning routine begins at night. So packing the backpack at night, charging the device at night, which is really great. Get it away from their hands,
right.
Out of their bedroom. But putting it like near the door, near what we call a launch pad. So everything is where it's supposed to be at nighttime. Your clothes are where they're supposed to be. The shoes, if they have PE and they have to change clothes, if they got practice after school, if they need their instrument, whatever it is, have everything ready at night. Making sure homework is done at night. Some parents say, oh, like, we are so busy during the day that we just do the homework in the morning. Well, imagine, like, how stressful that is.
Oh, my God,
right?
Yeah.
That now the child has, like, you think about unfinished tasks that you have and then mm-hmm. how that keeps you up, or, you know, you're worried about it. What if I don't get it done? We're kids with anxiety. They can't handle that.
Right.
You know, waiting until the next morning to do the homework, or doing it in the car. That's another one that I hear. So doing everything
in the car,
at night.
Oh my right. gosh. That's too much. That's like stressing your
it's
kid stressful. Out to the max.
Right.
Like,
right. Whew. The other tip would be to make things visible. Remember, they have a lot that they're trying to figure out. So having a family calendar, a small dry erase board next to, like, where they're doing their homework. Like, if you've checked the homework system online and you know that they have these two things to get done, like, put it on a dry erase board, a little small one right next to them, so that they can always look up and say, oh, let me keep on track, let me get this done, that kind of thing. And they actually see a finish line. And I also recommend doing a sticky note on their device. So if you have a reminder for the teacher, or a reminder to, like, when you get in this class, when you get to your math class, which is fourth period. So after they've gotten out of the car with you, by the time fourth period comes, they just aren't going to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have this sticky note, like, and they know that this particular sticky note means I need to do something with the teacher, and they keep it on their device or on their phone, then they can, that's a better reminder. It's visible for them. So those are my two biggest tips, is that your morning routine begins at night, and to keep things visible.
Okay. So then what are some of the biggest obstacles students might face?
So, you know, there's a lot of neuroscience research on learning and executive function skills that we have now. And one of the things that I try to explain to clients and students is that when kids were infants and preschoolers and toddlers, we would show them, like, things go here. right? Or we've got 5 more minutes before we leave grandma's house, so get ready, because we know that there's going to be like some changes in their attitude about leaving, right? And so we do all those things when they are young, and then we expect them, you know, then we move into like what's academic. We move into, now let's focus on learning to read and math and multiplication facts and all these things. And then once they become teenagers, those executive function skills that were growing as rapidly as they were from birth to age 3 are now growing just as rapidly, but we stop guiding them. We start saying, well, you should know how to do this by now, or why did you forget to do this? And so I think for us as parents, we need to know that it's time for us to go back to that once they turn around 10, 11 years old. And really the research says that executive function skills aren't fully developed until age 25.
Wow.
Right. So when you think about that,
so there's some grown people out here that still don't have their executive function skills.
We've got kids driving and don't have.
Oh my goodness!
Don't have great executive function skills.
A little scary when you think about it,
right? and the schools have stopped teaching time management and prioritization and organization. Like their focus is on the testing and the data. Mm-hmm. And so as parents, like we have to kind of take that responsibility and really show our kids and continue to guide them. I think the other big obstacle is understanding the concept of time. So things are so digital for our kids now, like the digital clock, that they don't actually see the passage of time kind of going away. And so using more visible clocks, timers, the analog clock, and actually having those up in your home really will make a difference with kids on understanding time. And the other big thing I get are screen time and the distractions with screen time. And parents having to be okay with saying, you know, putting a routine in place where when you're doing the homework, the phone sits outside your door. Or the phone goes to get charged at that time. Taking the phone out of the bedroom at nighttime. Those kinds of things. And you have to be okay with setting those rules and guidelines for them.
See, I'm not at that point yet. Ethan is 8, and he did ask the other day when he can have a phone. Like, when? How? What did he say? He said something like, how old will I be when I get my first phone? Uh-huh. And I said, probably 12. And he was like, what? 12? And then he said, well, I know some 5-year-olds that have their own phone. And yes. I was like, well, you're not getting one until you go to middle school. So I don't know what to tell you. I'm not getting you a phone early.
Right.
So it is kind of mind blowing that kids as young as 5 might have their own phones and, you know, have access to their phones around the clock.
Right.
So, parents, we gotta stay on our children.
Yeah, and, you know, people have different reasons for having phones. Like some is just because the kids want it and they give it to them. Mm-hmm. You know, once they get in middle school and you're trying to, like, organize pickup and this and that, like, they usually do need a phone. But you have to also, you know, figure out, like, parental controls and all of that and being okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, this is stressing me out a little bit. Really looking forward to my kids getting older like this. Okay. So then you were talking about the timer earlier. Mm-hmm. So what are some good tools and products a student can use to assist them with staying organized?
So I definitely recommend a planner. You know, for us at home, I have a 14-year-old and he started using a planner late elementary school, so maybe 4th or 5th grade. But the planner has never gone back and forth to school. The planner is basically my way of showing him how to manage his time. He has a pretty full schedule. And, you know, for him to understand that we don't have to do something all the time. I think we were talking about that before. But making sure that planner, he can go online, check what you have to do, write it down, see, like, if the test is on next Thursday, then what days do you have free and available that you won't be too tired to study after school so you're not studying the Wednesday night before. Mm-hmm. So using a planner, to me, it is key. We also use Time Timer. I recommend Time Timer because it's a visual way to look at time. And when we were talking about students with learning and attention challenges, I think Time Timer does a great job of having different sizes of timers, having the dry erase board, a small dry erase board already attached to it, having the visual pictures that you can put next to the timer so that students actually can understand what's expected of them. For parents, I recommend a book called Smart But Scattered, and it really goes into the definition of what executive function skills are and all of that neuroscience research that's parent friendly to understand, and then actually giving you tasks and things to do with your kids to make sure that they, whichever executive function skill they need most support with, that you can put some things in place. So those are my biggies. And dry erase boards are great too.
Okay. So then, and speaking of your son, are there any specific tips that work well with him?
Well, the planner is one that works well with him. Now, at age 14, he's like kind of like done with the planner, right?
Yeah.
So we've been exploring, I've been looking at an app that I've been using, the Cozy app. And you know, I could also add him onto Cozy, and then like he could see what I have on my calendar. I can see what he has on his calendar.
Okay.
We are a divorced family, so we also we have to take in consideration like his dad's schedule and when he's gonna be with his dad, and his dad knows like what I have planned for him. And so when I talked about organization helping me during some of my most challenging times, it was definitely something that I really leaned on through separation and divorce, was being organized. And coaching is really the way that I choose to kind of support my child through his challenges with organization and keeping up with his scheduling. And when I say coaching, I mean, instead of like telling him, this is what you're going to do, I know in my mind this is what he's going to do. But I ask the questions like, you know, what do you think is going to work best in this situation? You know, have you tried that before? How did it turn out? Okay, let's try it. How are you going to know that this is going to work this time? And giving him a chance to fail at things, you know, make mistakes. Like, it's okay. Like, the world is not going to end because he, you know, made a 72 on the math test.
Right.
Like, no college is going to ask him, hey, you know, how'd you do on that fractions test?
Right.
You know, you made a mistake. You know, are you able to do revisions? When are you able to get your revisions in? Oh, it looks like you might need to plan that, to study for that and go see the teacher XYZ. So I think that has really helped our relationship as well. And I had to learn how to be that kind of parent because the way we grew up, you know, your mom told you what to do. You just do it.
Exactly.
You don't give your opinion about it.
Right.
Right. Right. And having to kind of have those moments for me to sit back and say, let me ask him questions, let him kind of come to me at times. So coaching and the planner and time management.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think, you mentioned being divorced, do you think it's tougher for kids of divorced parents to manage their time?
Actually, I think it's the opposite because you have to find a way to make sure things get done.
Okay.
That they begin to have to try to stay on top of it themselves a little bit more. If you know that the teacher is assigning this and this is the weekend that you're going to be at dad's, or you're going to dad's this weekend, but by the time you get back, you'll be with mom. Somebody's got to take responsibility for letting mom know that when he gets there, he needs this, or vice versa, right? And usually, unfortunately, it falls on the child. But I do think it kind of helps them to really take more responsibility on what needs to get done.
What can a student do to help with the transition from elementary school to middle school to high school to college? Because I know when I graduated from high school and I started college, I was a hot mess. Like, it took me a year. I feel like it took me a year to really understand, like, how college worked and to transition from high school to college. So what advice would you give students, or what can students do to make that transition go a little bit more smoothly?
Yeah. And I think that we wait too long to talk about organization and study skills and things like that. Like, we wait until high school and college when really, if we started in late elementary and help kids to develop certain habits and get used to doing things a certain way, then that would make a big difference. And remember, we talked about the executive function skills. Like, it takes a long time for them to kind of develop that habit. So one is, if you have young kids, like, starting early with a little bit at a time, and making sure that kids and students understand that, let's say when they were in elementary school, when we say make things visible, the dry erase board was right in front of them, right? But in college, what that looks like is your schedule posted up on your wall, or you have your own dry erase board. I have one in the car right now. I'm taking to a college student when I leave here. But, you know, you have your own.
Never stops, huh?
Right, exactly. Like, I have one. But you might have a dry erase board that has, like, the calendar on it and then, like, a place for notes or things that are coming up. But you have to begin to look at what that looks like as you get older. And all of that is about really requiring independence. So each transition is about, how can I become a little more independent? And that's what you're really trying to teach. You're not actually teaching organization. You're teaching, like, how can you remember to do these things, or how can you get these things done on your own? And that goes back to really taking the time to guide and support kids until they're successful at it. But they have to realize what you're doing. Like, modeling it for them without telling them what it is isn't really gonna help them. So you gotta guide them and tell them.
Are there any methods that help with homework, projects, and test taking?
Absolutely. Dividing and conquering. So breaking assignments down into smaller chunks and spread it out over time. Kind of what I described about, if you have a test and you know the test is on this day, but you also know that you have dance 2 days a week. So in those days, you don't get home till 8. So how do you, you know, look at your planner or your calendar and figure out what days you're going to actually study, right? Or a lot of times teachers have been giving assignments where they say, do this IXL or whatever, this digital type of learning, 40 minutes a week. Well, either you're gonna sit down for 40 minutes, and that's a long time to get it all done,
right?
Or you could spread it out over time when you have less homework on certain days, or when you're not studying for certain things. And I also think that teaching kids how to study, like, we teach them how to do homework, but we don't teach them, like, how to study. And on those days when they don't have as much homework, saying, okay, you don't have as much homework on this day, what's one thing you can do? Oh, like, you could read this chapter and go ahead and annotate in your book so that you'll be ready for next Tuesday or whatever that is. So really showing kids how to study, like, what that means, breaking things down, and just doing a little a day or a week to progress toward a goal. But they've got to see it, you know, in a planner or on a calendar to see, like, what they're going toward.
Boy, I wish I would have met with you before I went through school and everything, because, girl, I could have. I'm just kidding. No, but it would have been helpful to have people like you around when I was going through, like, my process in college, because I feel like when I got to college, I was horrible at taking tests. Mm-hmm. I was great at doing papers and projects, but when it came to tests, I think I kind of suffered a little bit from test anxiety, perhaps. There were times where maybe my mind would go blank during the test, and I'm just sitting there like, what do I do? What's going on, you know? Yeah. So I really think that if I had something, you know, or someone like you, like a coach, then it would have just made it so much easier.
Yeah. And I hear that a lot. And college was the same for me. Like, because I was so used to my school and my teachers, I grew up in a small town in South Carolina, that, you know, I kind of, in high school, you're there for 4 years. Like, you kind of realize, like, you figure out how to game words, what I need to do, this, that, or the other.
Right.
And then you go to college and you're like, wait, the rules are out the door.
Exactly.
And it's all
it's like
me.
So different, right?
Yeah.
So, what are the most important things you'd like parents, caregivers, and students to take away from this conversation? Because you've given us a lot of great information.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know. Well, really, that the goal is to develop a habit. like, that's really what you're trying to do. You're trying to develop a habit around organizing and time management. Then that for parents and caregivers, you're going to need to help your child or your teen to learn organizational skills. Like, they're not going to acquire them through osmosis and they're just going to get it. Like, you've got to really guide and show them. You know, the same time that you take on learning those multiplication facts, it's the same amount of time, you know, you got to keep saying, did you have your folder in your backpack? Do you have this? And then once you've said it, as they're elementary students, then next you start putting it up, like, well, create a checklist on a dry erase board and then let them begin to check it off as they do it. And so you have to begin to just guide them and show them how to actually use those skills and what that means.
All right, Tiffany. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And can you tell our listeners how they can find you?
Yes, I'm on Facebook and Instagram at TW Bless. You can also find me and reach out to me through my website, www.simpleorganization.org. And I have a free course on Teachable. Teachable, TEACHABLE, under my school, which is Simple Organization. And the free course is the top 3 tips for students. And it's actually student friendly, so your child can actually sit down and go through it. So I'm speaking specifically to students, and then you can kind of work with them on the exercises and the different things they can do. So I would love to see more students in the class and taking advantage of those organizing tips.
All right, everyone. Yes, take advantage of that Teachable class. And again, thank you so much, Tiffany Blassingame with Simple Organization. And be sure to join us next week for an all-new episode of Organize Me Radio. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms. And remember, get organized, go further. You're listening to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson.